Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There is probably a little known fact that Christopher Columbus wrote a book. Most of us understand that Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. We even can tell you the names of the little ships that he took upon that perilous voyage. No doubt you know that he was a religious man, and that while all the world thought, all the scientists thought that the world was flat, if you went too far, you would simply drop off the earth. He believed the Bible. He believed the Bible when it said that the earth hung like an orb, suspended. And on that belief, he set out to conquer the world. But very few people understand that 9 years after he had discovered this new world, or is accredited with doing so, he wrote a book. It was entitled The Book of Prophecies. And he said that the world must end in exactly 155 years from the date of that book. And so, it meant that the earth ceased to exist in the year of our Lord, 1656. You see, Columbus was a religious man. He had a faith that drove him. And he felt as though he had accomplished all of that which God had given him to do. And so he basically said, and that's all there is. Sometimes we look at the world that way. We can't understand, looking at the horror we see before us, why God is holding back his hand of judgment. We see lawlessness. We see confusion on every turn. We see the moral decay of a nation. We see all the things that make us feel as though the righteous judgment of God should come upon the world and set it right. We look at our own America, and we see that those founding principles on which we formed this nation have gone the way of the dodo bird, that no one believes in them anymore. And the things that even united our churches, those things we gathered around, are now no longer there. We can no longer say we're in the world but not of the world. Our churches are doing everything they can to embrace the world, to bring the world inside the church. I'll just wait until I get your attention. We are easily distracted. We look everywhere except to listen to the Word of God. And we do it every single solitary day. Our attention is drawn here or drawn there. We cannot seem to focus on those things that are important. How do you think that makes God feel? When we do not feed upon His Word, when we believe the things that the world wants to tell us and not the things that He wants to tell us, how do you think that makes Him feel? God demands that each of us turn to Him. He is the source of all life. When Jesus comes back to earth, the Bible teaches us that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. It's not a saving proclamation. It's just simply a statement of fact. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord over everything we do, or He's not your Lord at all. Jesus wants us to understand His mercy and His grace. His mercy and His grace is for each of us. His restraint is a portion of His mercy and grace. He's always giving us a second chance, a new beginning. He is a God of new beginnings. He is a God of second chances. He forgives us 70 times 7, an infinite number of times. But there are times when we seem to tempt Him beyond our human understanding of how He can be tempted. Violence, anger is shown in the streets, and what used to unite us now divides us into separate camps. You think that's what God wanted when He sent His Son to the cross? The focal point of all of our faith should be upon Him. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for not listening to You and not acting upon what we hear. Forgive us, Father, for those things that we do out of sheer rebellion, because we want our flesh to be raised up and put on the throne, even at the expense of the death of our Lord. Forgive us, Father, for it is our sins that nailed Him to the cross. Forgive us, Father. Have mercy upon us, upon our country, upon the world. And may we say with joy, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. But may we also say, Lord, in Your perfect timing, when everyone You want to look to You has had an opportunity to hear and to know the truth. Father, forgive us for not being the ones that tell them. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. And Father, I ask You to have mercy and forgiveness on me. Cast out my words. They're nothing. We have come here in this time and in this place to hear from You. May we hear from You today, Father. Speak to us in a language that we all understand, the language of love, the language of the heart. May we all understand Your promises, Your gifts, Your love for us. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look with me to John chapter 14? In John chapter 14, 1 through 3, Jesus is talking to His disciples. It is a time when it is very important that they hear what He has to say. He has just had them have a feast with Him, and He has told them about the new covenant that was to be made with them in His own blood. He has just told them that one of them will betray Him. And then He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The followers of Jesus had just heard Him say that He was going away. That one would betray Him. That's devastating news. That's the kind of news that you don't want to hear. Ever. That your loved one is going away and that you're going to be the cause of his betrayal. You don't want to know that. And yet He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, if I'd been there, I would have said, boy, my heart's troubled. You've just given me news I don't want to hear. You just told me something that I didn't want to acknowledge. You just confronted me with my own weakness. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know that I will betray you. Each of the disciples had asked, is it me, Lord? Is it me? Because all of them knew in their heart they could be the traitor. Just like you and I. Every day we can betray our Lord. Every single day. I can see heartaches. I see them every day. I see challenges every day. I see cultural deficiencies. I see the church and weak and ineffective ministries. I see all kinds of things that would make my heart troubled. And yet you tell me, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus went on to say, you believe in God? Believe also in me. You know what that says to me? It says, don't let your lying eyes tell you anything that my word is not true. Don't let your lying eyes convince you of anything other than what I have told you. Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? We know the truth, but we don't do the truth. We're broken people because of our sin, because we will not cast it upon Christ. The Bible teaches us that we have not, for we ask not, or we ask not aright. We don't ask for forgiveness of sins. Not like we ought. We're not even aware that we're sinning when we're arrogant, when it's all about us. We don't even understand how a pure God, a holy God, cannot fathom our sin. Jesus is saying, basically, I'm telling you not to let your heart be troubled. It's my will that your heart not be troubled. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You believe in God, believe in also in me. He is basically saying, listen to me. I created everything there is. I am the source of sustainer of all life. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you? Did you make the sky blue? Did you make the grass green? Who are you to question me? You believe in God, believe also in me. They had every reason to. They knew who he was. They had been at the Mount of Ascension with him. Some of them had. They knew that the Father God himself had said, this is my son, listen to him. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him turn water into wine. They had been with him when he took the people who were dead and brought them back to life. When he cured people who could not see or walk. They had seen the miracles of him feeding 5,000 people at a time with a few loaves and fishes. They had seen the miracles. They had witnessed them themselves. They had every reason to believe, and yet they had disbelief in their heart. You wonder why you would betray Jesus Christ? Because of lack of faith in who he is. And the lack of faith for who he is comes to each and every one of us. Forgive us of our disbelief. Jesus went on to say that in his Father's house there were many mansions. In the Jewish way of thinking, the mansion was a honeymoon cottage. That's the word in Hebrew that it means, honeymoon cottage. My Father's house, there are many honeymoon cottages. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going. What was he saying when I said, I'm going? He's saying to them once again, I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to be ascended into heaven. He's telling them that everything that he does is in the will of the Father, so that he can go and prepare a place for you. You know, Jesus paid for an all-inclusive trip for you to heaven on the cross. I want you to imagine for a moment, just for a moment. You know, I took my wife on all expenses paid, everything, all the food we ate, everything, to Jamaica. It was 40 years after I told her I'd take her, but I finally took her. I want you to imagine for a moment that you love someone very much and that you're giving up everything you have to send them on an all-inclusive, totally inclusive trip to a Caribbean island. You check in, you cash in all their savings, and you sell your property. You get rid of your retirement accounts. You put everything you've got, everything you have except the clothes on your back, into the money which you can purchase a ticket for your loved one for an all-inclusive vacation to Tahiti or wherever they're going. Would you then go to the travel agent and give him everything you've ever had in your life? You've sold your car, you've sold your motorcycle, you've sold everything you have. You have nothing else. You give him all that you have because Jesus gave it all for you on the cross. You give that ticket agent every single thing you have for a ticket that is for one of your loved ones for an all-inclusive trip. Now, once you've done that, are you going to turn your back on the tickets and just leave them on the shelf? Just going to walk away? Not knowing if the tickets will ever end up with the one that you purchased it for? Of course not. You're going to take those tickets like the most precious thing you've ever had in your life, and you're going to take them to the one that you're giving the trip to. You're going to give them that ticket. You're probably going to drive them or go by bus or train or plane or whatever to the point of demarcation with them. You're going to take that and give them the tickets and make sure they have the trip you paid for. That's what Jesus is saying. You think he's going to go and prepare a mansion for you and then leave it vacant? Jesus is coming again. He's coming again to take you for an all-inclusive trip to heaven. That's what he's doing. He's taken everything he had and everything he ever would have, and he's given it away in order that you might have what he promised you. There are only two gates into heaven. One gate you pass through when you die. Jesus says that when you die, that he's right there with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And you go right through him, the gate, the door. You go right through him into the presence of God. And then the other gate is the gate that we may have when we're still alive when he returns. In a twinkling of an eye. That's 1/10,000th of a second for those of you who have any doubts. The twinkling of an eye is 1/10,000th of a second. You will be changed. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Boom. You are risen into the clouds. Those are the only two gates. Jesus is standing at both the gates, and he will let you in and take you into the presence of the Father. You know, when the Roman army came back to Rome, after a victorious campaign, they came back to Rome and they would camp outside the city and will allow citizens to come out and join with the soldiers, and they would then make their procession into the city, the triumphant procession. And the people that had gone out with them and were mingled with the soldiers did that for the reason that the army realized that they wanted the victory to be shared with every citizen of Rome. And so those people were out there and they would follow the army in and they would be there in the celebrations. They would see all the victorious wreaths. They would see all the glorious things that the people would turn out and do for those who came back in such a royal way. That's the way it's going to be when our King returns. Those of us who are still here will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. Boom! And then we'll see every knee on earth that remains bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then we will know that Jesus Christ came to rule and reign, and that everything will be done according to His desire and His will. There'll be no more ifs, ands, and ofs about it. There'll be no more spin for politicians to use. It will all be directly from the Word of God. And that will be the law. Some of us will say to the King, Amen. All of you who believe that you are saved will say, Amen, amen. And all of those of you who aren't will say, Oh my. Let me hear, Oh my. Oh. Because there will be judgment. He's coming again. He's coming again. And as He comes, He's going to tell each and every one of us what He desires for us. And His desire is going to be made whole on this earth. In March 11th, 1942, in a little place called Corregidor in the Philippines, a 62-year-old Army officer and his family made a miraculous kind of escape from there to Australia. The officer's name was General MacArthur. His last words to the people there in the Philippines was, I shall return. 2.5 years later, October 20th, 1944, he returned. His first words were, I have returned. Those are people that heard those words will never forget them. They were very special words. If you appreciate that kind of strength and attitude of a human being, let me introduce you to the God-man, Jesus. Because when He says He's going to return, you can take that to the bank. You know He's coming back. He's coming soon. We don't know how soon. Everyone has thought that He would come back within the first few hundred years after He left. People were looking for His return. Part of what all of the study of prophecy is that it is ethically to try to get Christians to be actively engaged when He comes. Because if He comes and finds you not doing what He called you to do, you're going to be judged for that. And so, all of us want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We have to be serving Him when He comes back. We have to be actively engaged in doing that for Him. He had the whole world that He made with His own hands. He holds the world in His hands. And if you accept the facts of His life, of His death, of His resurrection, of His ascension, then you must accept the fact of His coming again. The question each of us must ask ourselves, is He coming for you? You know, I had to do a paper and to write a thesis at seminary, and I had to write a thesis on prophecy. I used to think that prophecy was nothing more than sort of a mental amusement. I loved prophecy. It amused me. Amused me to find facts. I found out that the Jerusalem Post, for instance, had talked about the rebirth of the snail daughter. Why was that important? Because a particular little snail that they had extracted the color purple from, they thought had been extinct, but they found it on the shores of Israel. And that meant that they could make the royal purple robes once again for the high priest, and the temple could be built. I used to love little things like that. And I would take people out and I would tell people about all the prophecies that were wrapped up in Jesus Christ. When I wrote that paper, I thought, well, that's what I'll do. I'll go through all the prophecies. I'd read all the books, I thought. I'll do that. I'll write about that. But then it dawned on me that it wasn't just prophecies. It was a proper Christian ethic, the what you ought to do about what you knew. And so I said, well, the proper Christian ethic is to do the things that God told us to do. Sounds odd, doesn't it? Especially coming from a preacher boy. Jesus is coming back for someone today. He came back for our sister Lily just a few days ago. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that He came back for her because she spent 80 years a Christian loving Him and worshiping Him. 80 years of her life were in His service. Jesus comes back for someone every day. What will you do when He comes for you? Will you try to hold up a little certificate that you got from a seminary someplace? That won't get you in. That and a dollar and a half will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Won't get you into heaven. Will you hold up your membership to a church? Well, that won't get you into heaven. What you must do is you must bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, I am yours. Prostrate on my face. You are the creator and sustainer of all life. You're the one that made us, not me. You're the one that created this world, not me. You're the one that is coming, not me. You're going to take me wherever you want to take me. That's fine with me. Submitting ourselves before God is the only way we'll know that we are ready for Him to come and collect us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Sometimes difficult, because Jesus Himself was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, you would ask yourself, how can He therefore never let His heart be troubled? That's not what He meant. What He meant was that you should never have a moment's second guess about His promises to you, that they are sure. Because He came and was like us in every way, because He took upon Himself every sin that we'd ever committed, because He paid the full price for us at that cross, we now have an all-expenses-paid trip, all-inclusive, to heaven with Him.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.